your Bibles to Proverbs with me. It'll be our last message in Proverbs in this particular time of studies. We'll potentially go back to Proverbs down the road, but Proverbs chapter 9. You can remain seated. We'll read our verses. Proverbs 9, verse 10 through 12. Okay, let me read these verses 10 through 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Tonight the message title is God Cares What You Do. That's the overall title. God Cares What You Do. The subtitle is He is Actively Involved With Your Life. So let me say that again. God cares what you do, and He is actively involved with your life. Okay, so with that in mind, let's pray, and we'll one more time and we'll pray and get into this. Father, we pray your blessings on the message. Help us to have a heart open to you and to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it is true that God always cares for us. I don't think that it would take a lot for me to convince you of that. God cares about what you do. Really, you know, that's not news. But I think sometimes we don't realize how God is and how involved in our life God is. I think that's where we miss how much God cares for us by misunderstanding how much He is involved in our day-to-day life. My wife is a huge part of the reason why my kids are still alive today. no, I say that in jest, but maybe partly true. But, you know, I think that it's a testament of how much she cares for them, though, that they're still alive. I think that I can say that with a surety, and any of you who are moms, you can relate. When you do laundry, and then the clothes are on the floor, or they don't get put back in the drawers, and you wonder, does anybody care? Does anybody care that I care? I care that your clothes are on the floor. I care that your clothes need to go in the drawer, you know? And so sometimes there's that feeling like you're not appreciated, whether it's the clothing or the cooking that you do or the housework that you do or whatever it is. You know, there's a level of appreciation that is missing, and it causes you to wonder if there's anyone in the house who cares at all. And then it makes you wane a little bit in how much you care. So, you know, the kids perhaps one day say, "Hey, where's my clothes?" And mom says, "You know, I don't know where your clothes are. Maybe you should check the trash can or out in the backyard or something." Those are really bad days. They probably haven't happened too much for anybody in here or ever. But, you know, at least it's gone through your mind a couple of times. "Hey, Mom, where's my toys?" What toys? The ones that were on the floor? I think those are gone. The floor ate those. They're gone forever. You know, we feel like we're not appreciated. And then because others don't care, sometimes it makes us not care. Aren't you glad God's not like that? No, you go through life and sometimes you don't care. You don't care about, and I'm not saying you don't care so much that you give up on life or you give up on, you know, a variety of things that you would say, maybe in your heart, "I would never give up on this." And you mean it. You've not given up so far. And as far as you can tell, you're not going to give up. You're going to stick it out. You know, there's a lot of things you could probably write on the line. You're going to stick it out. It's tough. But there are times in our life, I think, that we don't care. And because of that, you know, there's that feeling maybe that God doesn't care also. But we can say with a surety that there's never a day that God doesn't care. And we can praise Him for that. My kids are nosy sometimes. And they care about things they shouldn't care about. You know, my wife and I are having a conversation. It's called an A-B conversation. You ever heard about A-B conversation? And you need to see your way out. Okay, so they want to know what's going on. They want, and it's so random. it's amazing to me how incredible their hearing is when they're not supposed to be listening, and how totally deaf they are when you're talking and you're looking at them and you're having eye contact and it's like glossy eyes, you know. So perhaps we'd say something like this: Grandma got a Jeep. And we got a Jeep. Okay, so you're trying to listen when you shouldn't be listening, and you're not getting the picture here, and you're caring in ways that you shouldn't care. I remember when I was in college, there was a friend of mine, and he's still a friend of mine. He's in the ministry. He's a pastor today. But we were in college. We weren't married. We wondered, is there anybody out there in this world? Because we didn't know for sure, you know, not a lot of prospects. But anyway, we needed to find somebody that we could deceive into getting married to us, you know. And by the way, any girl who gets married to a guy never knows what she's really getting into. So let's not act like that's a secret. But, he came to me one time. And he said this: would God tell me to marry somebody that I didn't really like them? And I was trying to understand, what are you getting at here? Keep going with this. Well, he felt like God was telling him to get married to this girl at school. I knew he was talking about, but he wasn't attracted to her. He didn't really like her. There was no fireworks, you know. But suddenly he had this feeling like maybe God wants me to get married to her. And then he's asking me, would that be God that's saying that? And I said, no way, no way, no way. No, write it on a paper, I'll sign it. No, the Lord's not leading you to get married to somebody that you have no interest in, okay? He wouldn't do that. So these kinds of things that I've thrown out there, we need to think about this as it relates to what we're about to talk about, because sometimes we get confused about the Lord's involvement in our life. We know He cares. So if I said, does God care about you? Well, all of us would say, yeah, God cares about me. He died on the cross for me. And so we would agree that He cares. And so the disruption or the confusion is God involved in my life? Does God care enough to be involved in my life on a day-to-day basis? And when you're confused about that, and when you're not sure about that, it's when things like this start happening. Is God leading me to do something crazy, like what this young man thought? Or is God over here on the other side, and He cares about me in the big picture, but I'm not really sure that He's involved on the day-to-day little things, because I don't sense Him there. I don't feel that He's there. I don't feel like God has been with me today. Not that we would deny that He promises that He will be with us. We just don't feel like He's been with us. And so that's where the confusion comes from. And I think it's what Solomon is trying to address with his son here. He wants his son to have a proper view of God's involvement in his life. And when Solomon is, his view of God is right, and when his son had a proper view of God and God's involvement in his life, then everything else in life would then begin to organize itself under that reality, under that faith. Okay? So look at our verse again, verse 10. There's a key phrase here, and everything hinges on this phrase. It's the fear of the Lord. Okay, see that phrase? The fear of the Lord. Now, how can we, what's one way we can know that everything that Solomon has said in chapter 1 all the way to chapter 9, and really all the way to the end of the book of Proverbs, we can say with confidence it hinges on that? Because it said, well, first of all, the phrase goes on, it's the beginning of wisdom. So everything starts there. As it relates to wisdom, it starts right there. So you can't have anything that's going to follow or organize itself in life unless you have the fear of the Lord. It begins there. And by the way, when you jump all the way back to chapter 1, how does he begin the letter? The same way. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So everything from the beginning to the end of the letter which is chapter 9. It's the end of the letter that Solomon wrote to his son. If you start chapter 10, what you'll see is the actual Proverbs that he wrote. And that's why chapter 10 says the Proverbs of Solomon, and then it's one or two verses, and they're just Proverbs that he gave. But chapter 1 through 9 is a letter. He wrote it to his son. And so he's closing the letter the same way he started the letter, by saying, we need to have the fear of the Lord. You need to understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord needs to be a reality in your life. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Watch. It's a proper view of God. When you look at God, or when you think of God, or when you understand God, and you have a proper view of God, then what you have is the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? According to Webster's 1828, now it's not outlined just this way, but whenever you take the concepts explaining the fear of the Lord in Webster's 1828, here's what it means. It means it's a view of God that leads to apprehension towards sins. So first of all, when you fear God, you are apprehensive towards sinning, because you know how God feels about it, one. And two, it's a reverent kind of immediate obedience to God. So there's two sides. It's the same coin, but there's two sides to it. One, on one side, there's because you fear God, or you have a proper view of God, you fear Him, therefore you are apprehensive to go into sins. Okay? On the other side of that coin, you're quick to obey God because you fear Him. It's reverent. It's a respect. It's an understanding of the promises of God are true and faithful. So I love that. I love that. It's sort of like somebody who respects the laws of the land. You have an apprehension of breaking the law, or at least I hope you do. You know, the traffic laws, speeding, or running a light. Why? Because if you get pulled over, then you'll get a ticket. And we've all, I think, have had that happen, maybe more than once, maybe multiple times. Maybe it happened to you today, and you're thinking, how did the Lord know? You know, so we have an apprehension. Watch, we have an apprehension of breaking the law. Why? Because we will suffer the consequence of that, potentially, through getting a ticket. But what's the other side of that coin? Why do we respect the laws? Well, how would you feel if you lived in a lawless city? Like, we could name a few cities that feels a little bit lawless right now on the political side, but we won't go there because I'll get fired up. And the riots and all that garbage. But anyway, why do we respect the laws? Why are we thankful for the laws? Because if people are just running red lights, that's unsafe, isn't it? And now your life's in danger and your kids' life are in danger. You know, I messaged this particular individual that I'm praying about and caring for them and really reaching out to win them to the Lord. I reach out today, and I always say, it seems the same thing, so I tried to switch it up today. I always say, I prayed for you, because I did pray for them immediately, and then I say, I prayed for you. Well, I had just done that like 3 or 4 days ago, so I didn't want to say it again because that's weird. Like, I prayed for you again today. You're like, okay, thanks. So I said this. I said, are you looking forward to Thanksgiving? Do you have any special plans? Just making conversation, you know? And he messaged me back and he said, yeah, we're going north. And then I said, yeah, we're going north too. We're going to Wisconsin. And by the way, I looked it up. How far are we from Kenosha? Kenosha, and then where are we? So I'm like, we're several hours from there. Praise God. But anyway, so we have, we have this trip that we're going, and I was nervous. And I said to him, man, I hope there's not a lot of snow. And then he said this to me. He said, travel safe. You ever said that? Travel safe? We say that all the time, don't we? What if we lived in a lawless country where people didn't obey traffic laws, and it was like truly dangerous? Then travel safe would have new meaning, wouldn't it? So we're thankful. We respect. Can I say it like this? We have a healthy fear of the law, both sides of the coin, the consequences of breaking it, and the thankfulness that we have because it keeps us safe. Well, that's the fear of the Lord, and there's two sides of it. Apprehensive toward sin, and then on the other side of it, thankfulness because of what it means. I mentioned Sunday morning about that hike we did to Devil's Bridge. Miss Marilyn gave me a card. It wasn't Devil's Bridge, but it was sort of a rock formation that looked a lot like Devil's Bridge, and kind of brought back those memories to me of shuffling out there on that rock face. But what if Grant, and he did say this, Dad, can I sit down on the edge? And I said, nope. And then he sort of just countenance dropped. his head dropped. And he was so upset because I wouldn't let him sit on the edge, like on the edge of a cliff like this with his feet dangling off the side, and it's a 150-foot drop to your death. And I wouldn't let him do it, you know, so he's mad at me. I said, well, I don't really care if you're mad at me. I really don't. And that rule's not going to change. So I didn't lose any sleep about how upset he was with me about that. Why? Because there's a consequence of just living life with no fear like that. You say, well, you know, you have to have adventure. You know, we got to get on the edge. You know, fine. You're going to fall off the edge eventually. And it'll be adventure for a while. But eventually, if you live life that way, you're going to fall off. And you're going to suffer the consequences of it. So I choose to fear the consequence and stay on the right path in that sense. How many of you have heard about these guys that do free solo rock climbing? You heard about it? There's a show on Disney Plus about it. I would encourage you to either watch it or not watch it, depending on what I'm about to say. So these guys are free solo rock climbers, and they climb these huge mountain faces that literally often, and on this particular show, there's no places to like put your hands. I mean, there's just these little curvatures, and that's what they're holding on to on a rock that's about straight up and down as that wall right there. And they're crawling up the side of this thing, and it's called free solo because they don't have ropes. They're not secure to anything. They're just like there. And so in this show that I'm telling you about, there's a statement in there that caught my attention and I didn't forget it. And it's this, that if you're a free solo rock climber, you're not wondering if you're going to die. You're not wondering that. What you are wondering is when. Because it's not a question of if you're going to die. It's when. Now, to me, fine, there's a movie and I'm sure this guy's rich because of it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. No fear. No fear. It's not wise, is it? It's not wise. That's what he's talking about here. The fear, in that sense, it's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And what that does is it gives us the right perspective in life. And everything that we're going to do is going to fall in line when we have a good view, when we have the right view of God. Sometimes we don't have a clear view of God because we don't see how He's involved in our everyday lives. And that's where we lose the apprehension of going off into sin, and we lose apprehension, or we lose the quickness of obedience to God because we don't fear Him. But why don't we fear Him? Because there's a disruption. It's not that we don't see that He cares. We see He cares. But we don't fear because we don't see how involved He is in our life. And so we don't have an apprehension of going off into sin. And we don't have a quickness to obey Him when He leads us, because we don't have a right view of Him. That does happen sometimes. Sometimes let me illustrate it this way. Sometimes my kids forget that I actually do care about what they do and what they don't do. And so, you know, they do things, and then after they do it, they realize, I shouldn't have done that. You know, but it's too late because I did it. Like pushing your brother off the trampoline. You shouldn't do that. And I ask, why did you do that? Well, I was mad at him. So you got mad at your brother, and you felt like in that moment the right move was to push him off the trampoline. And he said, yeah, but now that I look back on it and I see that he has a concussion, or, you know, he's hurt, and now I'm starting to see that maybe this was a bad move. But at the time, it seemed like the right thing. That's what we do. Our life is hectic. We're making decisions all day long. You know, and I'm not talking about huge decisions. We're making little decisions all day long. And so often in life, we're making decisions, and what we're doing in the decision is what feels like the right thing to do in that moment. And so often, that's why we did what we do, or what we're doing is what we're doing, because in that moment, when we're deciding to do what we do, it feels like the right thing to do. It's the same thing that Grant, or I threw him under the bus, didn't mean to. You already knew that. But anyway, the same thing that my kids do when they say they're going to push their brother off the trampoline and then they look back and say, I shouldn't have done that. That was a bad idea. Why did you do it? It felt like the right thing to do in the moment. But I wasn't thinking about what Dad's going to think about this. I wasn't thinking about the consequences of this. I wasn't thinking about this conversation that we're having right now and what's going to happen when we're done with this conversation. He wasn't thinking about any of those things. He was just thinking about what he felt in the moment. We do that in life. And when we don't think about what God thinks about what we're doing, we're just acting based on how we feel in the moment. We are living without fear of God in our everyday life. Maybe not at large saying that I don't believe God cares. And we would say God cares. But we don't understand what that means in our day-to-day, everyday life. Can I say this with confidence so that you'll get it? God cares about what you do every day. And He wants to be, not only does He want to be involved, He is involved. He is involved. Sometimes we forget that God cares about our decisions, and because of that, sometimes we don't remain surrendered. We sort of fall away in our commitments sometimes. Have you ever forgotten about something that was important? I hate to confess this, but I forgot about my wife's birthday one time. Now, that was a long time ago, and it never happened again. And I'm kind of sad to say that it did happen, because if there's one thing, if there's two things, if there's three things, the list is growing. If there's three things you never forget, it's birthday, anniversary, and Mother's Day. You never, never forget those. And if you do forget, then Lord willing, you'll understand that I'll never do that again. You know, so. There was somebody who I saw this article the other day, and I have to tell you about this because this is what happens in our life. We forget. We get going in life, and we got so many things happen. We're making decisions. We forget God's involved. We just forget. And so then we start doing stuff, and we're not thinking about God. We're just doing what feels right in the moment. Okay? That's life. It's life. But God is involved. He wants to be involved, and He wants us to remember that He's watching and He cares about what we do. And that's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. And then he said the key words, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Just acknowledge Him. He'll help you. He'll guide you in your path. You know, but He's there. He cares. He's paying attention. He is involved. But sometimes we forget. We forget. So I read this article yesterday. I sent it to my pastor friend, Brother Hetzer, because it was so awesome. I said, you got to use this as an illustration. And I'm using it tonight. So the Lord provided this. So in the north, I don't remember which state it was. Maybe Wyoming or one of the Dakotas or Minnesota or somewhere. But it was north. And there was this newly married couple. And they made this snowman that was 9 feet tall. Think about it. 9 feet tall. Picture of it. They showed this picture of it. This thing was massive. It was incredible. It was super cool, you know. So there was this guy who was driving down the road, and they're out there, and here's what he said. He saw that 9 foot tall snowman, and he said, I'm going to run over that. So he drove up in the yard, and I picture it like this, like a guy with a big truck thinks he's something, you know. I wish Montana was here. He's got that big truck, you know. Guy with a big truck. Thinks he's awesome, you know, one of those kids that gets out of school. Brrrr, I'm imagining one of those guys, you know. Drives up in the yard, knows he has to get a full head of, you know, steam so he can really plow and destroy this thing. And whenever he hits that Frosty the snowman, Frosty doesn't move. Because they built this 9 foot tall snowman around a tree stump. Frosty the Snowman won. Amen. I couldn't help but laugh. It was the best article I've read in a long time. It was the best. Doesn't that feel good? So anyway, My imagination took this story and went with places it probably shouldn't have went. But, you know, because I was imagining what color truck it was, and the guys that were in there, they probably had them big boombox things too, and it was going too, because don't you hate those? And he really crunched his truck on that tree. Imagine that this guy was driving down the road every day, and he knew that that tree stump was there, but then when he saw Frosty the Snowman, he forgot. And then he tried to take out Frosty, but Frosty took him out. You know, that's how it is in our life sometimes. I think we just get going through life and we have all these ideas. And we're not thinking a whole lot about God, what God wants, how God's leading, what God's doing. We're just thinking about what seems like, well, this sure feels right. Frosty's crying out for me to run over him. Now go for it. And that's how it happens in our life too. You watch. You'll go through life and you'll forget about God. You'll forget that He's involved on the day-to-day basis. And then you're going to wreck. You're going to wreck. And then you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, when I was going for it, it sure felt right. But now when I look back, I see that was really a bad choice. I shouldn't have done that. And maybe along the way, if we would have had what Solomon is encouraging his son to have, the fear of the Lord, and our view of God was right, then we would avoid some of those kinds of things. But not only are we avoiding things, what's the other side of the coin? When there's an apprehension because there's fear there, apprehension of sin, apprehension of foolishness, apprehension of quitting and going away from God and quitting church and going back to some of our old lifestyle sins and no, I'm not going to serve anymore, or my surrender is sort of going out the window, or whatever it is, you know God has worked in you, and now in your day-to-day life you've lost sight of that, and now you've decided in the moment you're feeling like maybe this is the right way to go, and what you're going to find is you're going to wreck, and God warns us about that. And he wants to direct our attention back to Him so we'll have a proper view of Him, and that we'll have the fear of the Lord working in us again, because we'll realize that God is paying attention to what I do. He's paying attention to what I don't do. He cares. He's involved. He wants to be a part of it, but not just so we won't wreck ourselves, because we will. He doesn't want us to wreck ourselves. And He will help us as we fear Him to avoid it. But the other side of the coin is the blessing. God wants to bless you. He wants to dump blessings out on you. He doesn't just want you to help you avoid the wreck. He wants you to see the glory that He'll pour into your life. And you'll shine. You'll shine. Look at it. We'll finish up. Look at verse number 11. It's both 11 and 12. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall increase. So think about this side of that coin, where God cares so much about your decisions. He's actively involved with your life. And as you recognize that, and you acknowledge Him, and you walk with Him, and the fear of the Lord is a part of your everyday life, and helps you to avoid the wreck, God promises you that as you walk in the fear of the Lord, as you walk with Him, acknowledging Him every day, that He will help you to see how what you're doing will bless your future. Listen, He says, the days of thy life shall be multiplied, the years of thy life shall be increased. These are things that have not happened yet. This is all future stuff. Now, why would? By the way, don't you recognize this as something that has been said in the Old Testament a lot? There's a promise of many days and years that's commonly given in the Old Testament by God to His people. Now, why is that true? Well, here's why: because this concept here, your days being multiplied and the years of thy life being increased, alludes to an endless sort of life. Now, God's not necessarily promising you here some kind of a prosperous, you know, this wealth, prosperity sort of promise. But think about what it alludes to. It's talking about your future. So let's take it at a broader stroke here, because we know Christ and we're saved in Jesus, we have everlasting life. So the future is bright. The future is bright. And that's what we need to be thinking about. That's the blessing part of the other side of the coin that's a blessing. When you live in the fear of the Lord, understanding that he wants to be involved with your everyday decisions in life, and you let your heart sort of acknowledge and sort of flow through Him as you make everyday decisions in life, then not only will you avoid a wreck, God will lead you to a future that you can look forward to. I mentioned about Caleb getting lost the other day on that hike when we were in Arizona, and the thoughts that were going through my mind, the emotions that I was having. What about his future? What if he's lost? And all of it was just sort of dramatic. But these thoughts were in my mind. I was concerned about his future. Well, watch. God is infinitely more concerned about your future and my future than I am about my son's. And he wants to bless it. And we don't know what the future holds, but here's what we can know. When we fear God, we can look forward to the future. And that's a blessing to be able to say. You know what you look at? You walk with God and you let Him lead your steps and you walk in the fear of the Lord. You know what you can look forward to? The future. What's it going to be? I don't know. But you can look forward to it. I love that. And then the second part of it, and we'll be done. Verse 12, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. So what this phrase means is that, let's say it like this, you can do whatever you want to do, but you're going to be facing the consequences of whatever you decide. Think about it. Look at verse 12 again. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. In other words, you know, there are times when our decisions affect other people. It always is true, actually. But we can't say that what we did and why we did what we did and how we feel and why we feel how we feel and why we're deciding what we're deciding is because of somebody else. No, no, no. Is that going to change the consequences you face? No. Your decisions will bring consequences into your life. That's what he's saying there. Look at the last part of verse 12. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. So there's consequences. Yeah. I'm highly involved with my children's lives, if you haven't seen that tonight. So in other words, I care when they push each other off of the trampoline. I care. And if they decide to do it, there's going to be consequences. And that's what God is saying. He cares about your decisions. He cares. And so let's not forget that He wants to be involved with your life. I brought an illustration tonight because it is so perfect. So, does anybody know what this is? Any guess? Raise your hand if you think you know what it is. What is that? Did you raise your hand? You itch your nose. Looks like a hanger a little bit. It's not a hanger. Does it make any sense now? Chair. Chair arm. Chair arm shouldn't be in my hand like this, right? It's because it's broken. One of my kids broke it. You know why? Because they don't care about my stuff like I do. Right. Amen. I'm getting some moms and dads a little bit angry. Yeah, something broke in my house today, yes, too. even though I think sometimes we see these kinds of things happen and it demonstrates that our kids or whatever don't have the same kinds of care and concerns that we have for these things. Here's what I want you to see tonight. God cares. He deeply cares about what you do. And He is involved in your everyday life. He'll help you avoid the wreck, and He will dump the blessings on you if you will fear Him. But we have to understand not only that He cares, but we have to decide that we care. You know, we have to care. And so tonight, to close the book of Proverbs, what a great way to close it than to say that God will bless you if you fear Him, if you care enough in your day-to-day life to acknowledge Him and walk with Him. Then you'll find the avoidance of sin and the blessings in the future. Father, tonight we thank You that You promise us in Your Word the promise of Your blessing, that we can avoid the wrecks in life. We thank You that You promise us that we can, through our obedience to You, receive and find the blessings that come as a result of that desire that You have, and that care that You have, and that involvement that You have in our life. I pray that You'd help us tonight to, on a daily basis, begin to care about acknowledging You and walking with You each and every day, and not just following our feelings and doing what we do because it felt right in the moment, but to stop and to seek You. It's worth it. I pray You'd help us to act in this way tonight. We'll give You glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.